अञ्जनाचलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चते शतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I am sincerely grateful to be with all of you today. Special gratitude to Pujya Swamiji Chidananda Saraswati, to Sadhvi Bhagavati Ji, to the Saivites of Paramartha Niketan, and to all of you. We have gathered for the International Yoga Festival. Usually, there are many thousands of us gathered together on the banks of the river Ganges, Mother Ganga, in the foothills of the Himalayas, in Rishikesh, to have what is called satsang, gathering together to seek the truth. A yogi is sometimes referred to as saragrahi, one who seeks the essence of life, to live in harmony, to harmonize the physical body, the intelligence and mind, the heart, with our true inner spiritual self, the Atma, or the soul. And then in that harmony that we find within ourself, we can understand and experience harmony with God, with all living beings, and with the environment, all of creation. Janmadyasya yataha, everything and everyone is coming from a common origin. We are all interconnected, interrelated, intimately on the spiritual level. There is so much disharmony in our own minds, in our lifestyles, with other living beings, because we have forgotten the natural harmonious nature of our true self. We are so much obsessed with finding happiness, pleasure, meaning, relief through external experiences that we have forgotten the great treasure of who we are. The Brahma Sutra tells, Anandamayobhyashat. Everyone is looking for pleasure. It's our nature. The bird, the insect, the plant, and every variety of human beings, we're all looking for fulfillment. It is because the nature of our spiritual self, the source of consciousness that's animating this body and mind, is Satchit Ananda. We are eternal. We are full of knowledge. And our nature is filled with happiness. The essential pleasure that we need is the pleasure of love. To love and to be loved. A little baby doesn't know so much intellectually about the world, but the little baby's most instinctive propensity is to seek love. And a mother's nature is to love her child. There are so many songs and so many movies and so many ways that we're trying to express the need for love. And the sadness, the heartbreak, the frustration, the emptiness of losing love. We understand what happens when someone we love dies or betrays us. It's a heartbreak that's more painful even than physical suffering, because it is that love, that propensity to love and be loved, that is at the very heart of our nature. Spirituality, religion, yoga are beautiful gifts that we have been given to reconnect our conscious awareness with the love that is within each and every one of us. To express that love, or to seek honestly and earnestly for that love. This is called karuna, or compassion. The greatest need in the world. This is why we have gathered together. Satsang means we come together to find the highest truth. The Himalayas, the River Ganga, has been a place since time immemorial where great personalities have come especially to find that harmony with God, with creation, and with all beings. Just a few hours downstream from Rishikesh is a very holy place. I sometimes visit it. Its name, Sukatala. I'd like to speak to you something about this very, very special holy place, because it encapsulates so much of what humanity is going through today and gives us a direction. Approximately 5,000 years ago, there was an emperor. His name, Parikshit. He was a very fair and just leader of people. He perceived everyone in his kingdom as Pragya, as his own children. This is a principle that Bhagavad Gita teaches. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richchati. That a realistic way of living, which is the very basis of spiritual enlightenment, is to understand I'm not this physical body or emotional mind. I am the eternal soul, and the body and mind has been entrusted in my care for a higher purpose. And similarly, whatever skills, whatever intelligence, whatever resources, whatever influence we have over others, wealth, property, they are gifts that are entrusted to us. Even if we work very hard to earn them, still all the materials we have to work with, this body, this mind, this intelligence, and all the resources, they are existing by a higher power. Freedom from anxiety and suffering is so much realized according to how we understand that nothing is really mine except the capacity to love and be loved. The interaction between love and love, and between loving and being loved, in Sanskrit it is called seva, or service. Everything that exists is divine property, and whatever we have influence over, or whoever, to see that the divine, the supreme, has entrusted this to us. In this sense, we never become arrogant. Rather, we utilize whatever little or great things we have in a spirit of compassionate service. This is the very heart and purpose of religion or yoga. This great emperor, he was in this mood. He was a very pious person. He was cursed to die in 7 days. The nature of this world is we have our plans, but we have to learn to adjust to whatever situation comes upon us. Just like if a person is in the middle of a sea, sometimes there's sunny weather, and sometimes there is blasting winds and massive tossing waves. We cannot control the sea, but we need to adjust in such a way that we're always moving in the direction of our destination. In the middle of a sea, a compass is very important. So whatever situation comes, we know where we want to go, and we learn the art of adjusting so that we can progress, so that we could grow in whatever predictable or unpredictable situations may come. It may be our own health. It may be the well-beings of the people we love. It may be economic. It may be the situation, the condition of the weather or society. Sometimes there's peace, sometimes there's war. Sometimes it's winter, sometimes it's summer. This is a preliminary teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparsha stokonteya sitos na sukha dukata. That everything is changing. How do we adjust ourselves so that we're moving toward a fulfilling, enlightened state, where the love within us is awakened? Arekshet, knowing he had only 7 days to live, he took it as a blessing. Every situation could be interpreted according to our internal way of processing it. We can see a situation as a curse or a blessing, as an opportunity or an impediment. He understood that the goal of life is a spiritual experience. So he took this as an opportunity. Let me focus every moment I have left to reunite with the God that is within me and within everyone. He went to the bank of Mother Ganga, the river Ganges, in this place, Sukhatal. The banyan tree that he sat under is still there today. He went there because he knew this is a place where great yogis, sages, rishis, saints, they gather. And enlightened beings and people seeking enlightenment from various parts of the world came there to be with the king during these last days. Among the great yogis and sages, they all selected one person to speak to Parikshit. He was a 16-year-old boy of the name Sukadev. Because they understood the compassion, the wisdom, and the love that he had connected to in his life. The king, he asked a question to Sukadev. In fact, he asked three questions. And this very historical event is so important for us to understand, because he wasn't just asking for himself. He was asking three essential questions for all humanity, for all times. The first question: what is the prime duty for every human being? The second question: there are so many spiritual paths, so many religions, so many scriptures and books of knowledge describing different aspects, different perspectives, different versions of history, of philosophy. What is the essence? What is the true goal of all religion, beyond sectarian conceptions? And the third question: what is the most important truth to understand for a person who is about to die? Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. Death is certain for this physical ever-changing body. We may not know when it will come. We may not know how it will come. But we know it will come. So with this span of time that we have in our life, it is so important that whatever we do, we integrate and harmonize it with our highest purpose. True spirituality is not about a competitive, proud way of proving ourselves or what we're affiliated with to be better than others. In fact, the more we actually come in contact with the beauty, the sweetness, and the greatness of the Supreme, the more we become humble, the more we realize that to be an instrument of the grace that is beyond all our egoistic conceptions, that is where real fulfillment is. And it is in that fulfillment that we can give others real fulfillment. When we tune in to grace, the all-pervading reality that's within everyone and everything, then we become an instrument of that grace. Our spiritual practices are meant to tune us in to that current of grace. That's the very essence of our souls. God's love. And then through our words, through our actions, through even our thoughts, we can transmit that grace and bring about healing, harmony, and happiness. The Vedic literatures teach Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu, that the more we connect with knowledge and enlightenment, the more our purpose in life is let all beings be happy. The more we have, the more we can give. Interestingly, Parikshit, being a king, he had such enormous wealth and strength and knowledge, and he chose as his guru Sukadev, who was just a boy. He lived in the forest. He didn't even have clothes. He had no home, no residence. And practically until he came to that assembly, he was just living alone in the forest. He wasn't famous, but he had love. The king wanted what Sukadev had. You are truly a wealthy person because you have found inner peace, inner happiness, inner awakening, and in that awakening, you found God's love. And your only purpose in life is to share that love. Sukadev, he answered these three questions in a scripture that is today over 18,000 verses. It is called the Bhagavat Purana or Srimad Bhagavatam. For many, it is considered to be the summum bonum, the very essence of all the Vedic scriptures. In his explanation, Sukadev Goswami, he tells the story of many of the various avatars or incarnations of the Supreme Being that have come to this world throughout history. He also explains saintly people? What are the qualities of a person who's connected to the truth within themselves? What is God realization? He speaks stories of incredible transformations of consciousness. And the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, where Sukadev Goswami describes the beautiful, playful, sweet pastimes of God who comes as Krishna to attract the world through love. In this world today, with this COVID-19 pandemic, with all of the racial tensions, the political disruptions, there is so much disharmony, disunity, depression, anxiety, loneliness, addictions. There's so much plaguing humanity. And the innocent children of God in the form of animals, so much fear and suffering and slaughtering. And the wonderful stage that we can live a wonderful life, the environment, is so much being plundered, exploited, polluted. Even Mother Ganga, the rivers, the oceans, the land, the air, the food. The more we seek to purify our own hearts, the more we realize the importance of living in such a way that we can purify the people and the surroundings around us. Because in that purity, there is natural harmony. Pandita Samadarshana. A spiritual, enlightened person, or someone who is seeking that, sees all living beings with equal vision. Sees everyone as a child of God. On the bank of the river Ganga, there was a great lady who was great-grandmother of Parikshit. Her name is Kunti, one of the most celebrated saints of India's history and world's history. She endured so many tribulations, challenges, and heartbreaks in her life. Sometimes the world is like that. But she was always finding the inner strength and peace in the shelter of God's grace. Just like a foundation for a building, it's so important. If we are so much focused on the decorative aspects and the comforts that a building brings us, and we neglect the foundation, we can build something that does temporarily give us some pleasure, but when a storm comes, it collapses. So similarly, it's natural we want to be happy. It's natural we want to avoid pain. But we need a foundation so that we have sustainable peace and sustainable love. And that foundation, like in a building, you can't see the foundation, but it holds up everything. The inner foundation of our spiritual nature is what everyone is looking for. But due to forgetfulness and endless distractions, we've forgotten. When we reconnect to our inner spiritual foundation, which is the shelter of God's grace, then what happens is we integrate that compassion, that love, which is the very energy of grace, with everything we do. Kunti, this incredible lady, this wonderful saint, in whatever situation came in her life, she was seeking to live in harmony with that grace. She composed a beautiful verse. As the river Ganges forever flows toward the sea without hindrance, my beloved Lord, let my attraction, let my purpose in life, let my love always flow toward you. When you water the root of a tree, that water reaches every part of the tree. The leaves, the branches, the flowers. And similarly, when our propensity to love, our propensity for peace and for happiness is reconnected with the divine, with God, who has many names. In my tradition, Rama or Krishna, Hari. In other tradition, Yahweh, Allah. There are many names of the one God who has come to this world and revealed herself and himself to this world throughout the ages, in different languages and different names. But it's this, the Supreme Mother and Father of all beings. That is our source. When we reconnect with that source, then naturally our love, in the form of compassion, reaches out to strive according to our capacity to help others to be happy. Satsang, sadhana, and seva. To associate with people who inspire and enlighten us with knowledge and example. That gives us strength. That's a foundation in our life. To have a spiritual practice where we're putting some exclusive time aside every day just to make that connection through our spiritual practice. And when we are nourished, charged through the blessings of enlightened people, through the camaraderie of like-minded spiritualists, and through our own personal spiritual practice, then seva. Then we find the greatest joy of life is to serve. That service is holistic. To give people happiness, the physical bodies, the emotional minds, the heart, and ultimately helping people to realize, to taste the sweetness of the love that's within their own souls. Yes, there are turbulent times today, but where there's the greatest need, there's also a great opportunity to serve. And to serve effectively, we need to give focus on simultaneously nourishing our own personal hearts. And that is what yoga is. Yoga and religion mean the same thing essentially. To harmonize with our spirit, to harmonize with God, and to share that harmony. I am so grateful to be here today. I've spoken a little about this holy place on the banks of the Ganges called Sukhothal, and downstream, perhaps 1,000 miles in what is now the state of Bengal, there's a holy place called Navadweep. And 500 years ago, on the bank of Mother Ganga in Navadweep, Sri Chaitanya was born into this world, an avatar of Sri Krishna. And he was Krishna who, with the love of the heart of the feminine power of God's grace, Radha, wanted to share love with the world. And he did it by teaching this process of Sankirtan, or Kirtan, the chanting of God's names. Nam Namakari Bahuta Nija Sarva Shaktis. These are spiritual transcendental sound vibrations that awaken the inherent nature of the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunai. When we are in this spiritually awakened state, we realize ourselves beyond birth and death. We interact with the various ever-changing situations of the world with the beautiful purpose of seeking shelter and giving shelter of God's grace. The names of God, these beautiful mantras, man means the mind, trayate means to liberate the mind from all of the anxieties and limitations that we're dealing with at every moment. And in that liberated state, the mind, like a drop of water, when it's pure, it's transparent. When a drop of water becomes polluted, it loses its transparency. When our mind is purified, then the instinctive, intuitive, sweet nature of the loving soul manifests through our life. We can see ourselves for who we truly are, and we could see all living beings for who everyone truly is. That is a transparent state of consciousness. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. This kirtan is a process of purifying, filtering the consciousness. Its goal, Sri Chaitanya taught, prema pumarta mahan, to learn how to love. When that experience of love becomes the foundation and shelter of our life, nothing can take us away from that. No situation. And then we could really be activists. Activists toward unity and purity. Activists of spiritual truth, where we are armed with humility and respect and kindness. In whatever roles we may be playing in society, doctors or lawyers or farmers or engineers or teachers or swamis, whatever we are responsible for, we integrate compassion. We integrate the humility of the love of our heart in whatever we do. And then whatever situation, we will have unstoppable courage, determination. Many of us feel so far from these ideas, but they are accessible. This realization, this enlightenment we're speaking about, is the closest thing to our true self because it is who we are. On the bank of the Ganga, Sri Chaitanya taught, by chanting God's names and singing beautiful music, even dancing together, which is so enjoyable to the body and mind, we become purified. Downstream from Navadvip, Mother Ganga enters into the ocean. And she begins at Gangotri, in the peaks of the Himalayas. And previous to that, she's descending from the spiritual world. Because of the limitations of the challenges of the world today, very few of us are able to be on the bank of the Ganga at Paramarthaniketan in Rishikesh for this yoga festival. But just see, the same spirit of the festival, the same gifts of the festival are with us today. Because we are using technology to infuse, we are trying to infuse technology with this purpose of yoga. Where there is a will, there is a way. Mother Ganga flows, and there are so many obstacles, but she somehow flows above or around, over or under, toward the sea. And this yoga festival in our yoga practice is a wonderful opportunity to equip us and empower us. That in whatever situation, even the apparent impossible obstacles, still we can share our hearts with God. We can share our hearts with each other. We can share our ideals and God's compassion with the world. And nothing can stop that. It is my prayer that blessings, grace, peace, and happiness shower upon all of you. Thank you very much.